Here it is, the first Saturday of summer. Officially, this is the 22nd of June. Denny Long back at it, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
Is it wet enough for you? Gee whiz.
Never thought I'd complain about the rain, but I think we're ready for a bit of a break.
And just think how it was last year at this time, praying for rain. Unbelievable. In fact, I want to talk a little bit about driving through rain, driving through puddles, or in some cases, lakes. But in the meantime, I want to invite our listeners to join in. If you have trouble, are having trouble with your car, your truck, your van, and you're going to bring it in for service to your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, but you kind of want to know ahead of time what could be ailing, Nick will be kind of giving you an analysis over the radio. You don't have to be a motorhead, as we like to say, or a gearhead. If you drive and you're having trouble, ask your question. We'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. Just one number will get you either. 651-461-9226. And as you know, Nick, I always like to say, do it earlier rather than later. Our time goes by so quickly. Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45 when Jack Farrell steps in. So call early, text early. Rather than later, 651-461-9226. You know, we've talked about this over the years here on the show, as you know, Nick, about some folks still, they see a puddle or whatever at an intersection, let's say, and they thought, well, I think I could make that. You don't know, first of all, how deep that is, but maybe you can kind of give us an idea of what minimally could happen to a vehicle. Or what's the worst-case scenario? What happens if you try to drive through a, quote, puddle without success? What can happen?
Well, especially this year with the amount of rain we've had, my thought or opinion is if you see standing water, you need to slow down. You don't want a hydroplane, which could, you know, take you off course and create an accident of sorts. You don't know how deep it is, like you mentioned, and, you know, sometimes if there's a pothole under that puddle, that edge of the asphalt could puncture the tire or damage the wheel, which would leave you stuck in the puddle, quite honestly. So, you know, it's we've had more rain than we can imagine, and it comes in these really heavy downpours. So if you see running water or standing water, you need to avoid that at all possible. You know, otherwise, if it's on the shoulder of the road and there's a curb there and there's, you know, that curb or that gutter is full of water, you just need to slow down. You get that water spraying, gets up under the hood, you can create a potential misfire, it could cause a vehicle to stall. So it might seem like it's fun when that water is spraying and such, but I think the best thing you can do is slow down or try to avoid it if all possible.
Now, you and I, we've all seen vehicles, maybe off-road kind of vehicles, like, I can get through this, no trouble. I guess water can go anywhere, but what kind of damage are we talking about? Worst-case scenario, let's say.
Well, without realizing it, it's all happened to us, especially, you know, like I said, this spring with all the water. You hit one of those really large puddles and you see steam. Well, that's because the hot part of the engine is getting wet, which some cases, you know, the bottom is pretty well protected and designed for that. But we're also, the cars are designed for rain and such that where things are coming down, not so much up from underneath. So, you know, a lot of electronics can get shorted out. As I mentioned, you could create a misfire, which can make the vehicle run poorly or poorly enough where it might stall and now you're stuck in the rain. So it's like we both mentioned, it's best just to avoid it if all possible.
Now, can water get into the engine?
It can. You know, the intake, how the engine breathes, you know, where it takes the air has combustion and comes out the exhaust. If water gets into the intake portion of the engine, which is pretty well protected, so it's not very likely unless you're in a special circumstance, and if it actually consumes enough water, it can actually, that's a very rare, very significant situation, obviously. Not very likely to happen, but it does happen. I've done this long enough for a few of these situations where, you know, someone's under an underpass where there's like a low area and the water up on the wheels or the you know, getting near the fenders of the vehicle where there's so much water that when it creates that little bit of surge or wave that it kind of overcomes the hood, that water can get into the engine and then now that car's stuck in the middle of a lake, you could say, and it's likely ruined the motor.
Yeah.
That water can get into the engine and then now that car's stuck in the middle of a lake, you could say, and it's likely ruined the motor.
Yeah. So don't do it. Just don't. I'm looking at a text. I know we have to break here in a moment, but I tell you what, I want to remind our listeners to call or text any kind of a car care question you might have. 651-461-9226. Here's one from a listener, 2001 Lincoln Town Car with the Panther platform. There is a hollow, dull thud noise coming from the front end when I go over potholes and bumps. Front tires don't move when I have the car jacked up and my hands are at the 9 and 5, 12 and 6 position and try to wiggle them. With that information, what can you diagnose that, Nick, at all?
You know, I'm on board. You know, what they're doing when they're raising the vehicle and trying to wiggle the wheel is check to see if there's any free play in any of the steering suspension components. Up in the air, sometimes we'll do that and maybe get two people involved, so one person is allowed a pry bar while the other person kind of feels around. If you're feeling or hearing a thud that's different, it's because something has changed, obviously, and there's a component that's worn, maybe needs tightening or lubricating or even a replacement. So if that's something that just changed in recent times, I would probably make an appointment, get it at least assessed, and then you can, you know, determine how bad it is and what needs to be done.
Yeah, good idea. Hang on, Nick. We'll take a quick break. Again, invite our listeners to join in. Our time goes by so quickly. If you have a problem with your vehicle, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Your questions either by phone or by text. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. If you happen to have a problem with your personal vehicle and would like to find out what the heck is wrong with it before you bring it in for service, why don't you call Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. You can call him or text him, whatever works this morning, 651-461-9226. Nick, I think for those folks who maybe do need some help, want to pop in to Lloyd's Automotive, how do we find you guys? Where are you?
Yes, sir. So if you do have a question, need a little advice before you take it into your dealer or your local shop, don't hesitate to call. We're at 651-228-1316. If you happen to be on Grand Avenue at St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand, which is the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And finally, I'd really appreciate if you checked out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing, and of course we'll get you that information before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. So let's hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. A listener wants to know about, basically the question is, and we get this once in a while, about oil filters. How do you know the quality of oil filters? Is it best to buy big name brand names or use original equipment type of products or what? And again, I'm simplifying this long paragraph, but you know what the listener is asking. What about oil filters that you find at auto parts stores? And how do you know you're getting something good?
You know, that's a good question. And if there's any doubt, obviously going back to the original equipment, there's a standard that you're going to meet there regardless. Now, we always try to use a premium filter at the shop. You know, you go to a parts store, you look at the shelf, there's going to be a whole variety of options there. Talk with somebody, you know, ask the person working there, look for, you know, you're looking for a quality filter. And typically the more common brand name ones are going to be better quality, you know, a good, better, best. I personally think it's, you know, we talk a lot about oil changes and quality of oil. I think filters go hand in hand with that in the sense that, you know, it might be a dollar or two more to get the better filter. Your engine will greatly appreciate it. It'll do a much better job of cleaning that oil, keeping that oil clean and lubricating the engine properly.
You know, I don't think we've ever talked about it. I'm not going to pick on the brand, but there is a brand out there, whether it be engine air filter element or cabin filter, or oil filter that they you can wash. They're reusable. I've never done that. I've never used them myself. And I keep thinking, is that a good idea? I mean, is it as good as changing, you know, to a totally clean filter? Do you have a personal opinion about those? I'm not trying to knock the company, but what have you seen or heard about those, if anything?
Well, you know, in the air filter situation where what you're referencing, there's some maintenance with that. You know, when the air filter gets dirty, traditionally we replace it with a new filter. It's clean. All the folds have no debris, and all the, you know, the stuff that you don't see is not there. With those other types of filters, you actually have to clean them and re-oil them, which is a bit of a maintenance procedure and process. So if you're, you know, as we call them, a gearhead a bit, and you enjoy doing that, by all means, there's, I think there's no problem with it. But if you're more of a set it and leave it type of person, or you might forget it, it's probably best to stick with the standard filter.
Yeah. I don't know why. I guess I'm kind of funny that way, but I've never tried it. Maybe it's good. But like you said, that's extra maintenance, and maybe it's just fine. 651-461-9226. Your car care question by phone or by text. Got a tire rotation question, Nick. How often should that be done? How is it done? And why is it done? Basically, they're asking.
So it should be done as needed. Obviously, you check the owner's manual, maintenance manual. It's likely to say, excuse me, most likely every oil change or every oil changed, depending on where. And then the way we rotate them really depends how they look. You know, sometimes it's just straight forward and back. Sometimes if we see a little abnormal wear, we want to get a different part of the tire grabbing the road, we might crisscross them. So there's not necessarily a one way to do it. It really depends on the type of vehicle, all-wheel drive, front-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, the type of tire and how they're wearing. And I think when you take it into your regular shop and you have your service done and they recommend a rotation, they're going to make the best decision how they think those tires are going to wear best. The reason we do it is for longevity and good tire wear. You know, if you keep a tire in one spot, it's going to wear more so in one part of the tire than the other, which will cause them to wear too quickly. So we like to move them around every so often to keep them wearing evenly and lasting as long as they can.
How long do tires last, generally? I know that's a tough figure, to depending on your driving and the other elements of that particular car. But generally speaking, if you buy some good, you know, quality tires, how long should they last you? 20,000? 30,000?
Well, on the higher performance type tire where the compounds are very soft, kind of like a winter tire, if you're running that all the time, you might get 20,000 miles. The other end of it, on a little bit lighter weight vehicle, more of a minimalist type of vehicle, you get some of those tires on there, you might get 70,000 miles. So there's a huge range. I would like to say I would expect most vehicles, 50,000 miles, I think, is a fair number to use. Some of the more profile, lower profile, higher performance, softer compounds are going to work quicker. Some of the more minimalist, lighter vehicles, maybe not as many of the features and handling aspects, tires will likely last longer. But kind of like we were mentioning with oil and filters, tires go hand in hand. Price, quality, longevity, quality of ride. So if you're looking for a set of tires, ask for some advice, do some research, you know, look around for a deal that might help save some money. But ultimately, the better the tire, the more likely they're likely to cost.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's grab a phone call before we look at the weather. Joe is calling in this morning from Isani, I believe. Joe, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Yes, I was in an auto parts place recently, and I picked up a jug of Rotella truck oil, and it said, the label on it said, guaranteed for 15 years or 500,000 miles. I'd like Nick to comment on that.
What do you think of that, Nick? Wow.
I think there's probably a little more to it. I think what they're saying is if you use that product as your maintenance fluid, they're saying that that oil is such a quality that they're going to promise you in some aspect, read the fine print, that the motor will last that long. And if you use a good quality oil on any vehicle, to get up over 200,000-300,000 miles on today's types of vehicles we have on the road should be expected, quite honestly. So what they're doing is they're hedging the bet that you're going to use that product for 15 years, and they're going to get you that 500,000 miles. So read the fine print. Obviously, if something unfortunate happens and you have a record of using that product, you might have a claim with them. But I would caution just a little bit to make sure we know what they're, yeah. You know, the big letters are easy to read, but the fine print isn't.
How true in everything. All right, Nick, hang on. We'll take a quick break, have a look at that forecast. It's going to warm up for a couple days. We'll find out all the weather details coming along. We still have about 10-15 minutes of our show to go, so don't wait. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you at 651-461-9226. Call it in or text it in. Here at News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We're here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour, welcoming any kind of a car care question you may have for Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Tech at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we've got callers, we've got texters. Let's see how many folks we can help out here before you take your leave today. Let's grab a phone call from Steve calling in from Wilmer, Minnesota this morning. Steve, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Yes, I got a 2000. Ford 500. I said that wrong. 2007 Ford 500. And I was leaving town and 55 miles an hour, whatever. All of a sudden, the dash lights all kind of went out, other than like a seatbelt, yellow seatbelt light. Stayed out for about, I don't know, 20 seconds, 15 seconds. And come back on, be normal. Then I turned the cruise control on and another mile or two. And it did the same thing. Except cruise light was on, the little yellow seatbelt light or whatever was on. Speedometer went to zero, tachometer went to zero, temperature gauge went to zero, gas gauge went to zero. 5 seconds, back up again. What do you got to say about that? What can I do?
Yeah, that's a tough one. We do see that. My suspicion is something in that actual cluster. A solder joint is broken, you know, after the years, vibration, bumps in the road and such, that maybe a connection's gone bad in there. You know, the first thing somebody should maybe do is check for any kind of fault codes that may have stored to kind of give them a clue, check the powers, the grounds. The last thing you want to do is start ripping a dash apart on a vehicle. Very tedious. The car's got a few years on it. Things become brittle. So that would be our last resort. But I think, you know, take it in. Explain to them, maybe even go for a drive with the shop and have them see what you're describing there, and then just have them go to work. You know, like I said, check powers, grounds, get the wiring diagram out, do everything you can to try to eliminate the easy stuff first, and then ultimately they might end up having to pull that cluster out of the dash and, you know, check to see if there's anything that's damaged behind there. So not easy. Sometimes it can be a bit of a needle in the haystack. But you need to know what the temperature is, what the speed is, how much fuel you have in the vehicle. So you're probably going to have to at least have somebody get a closer look to give you some better advice.
Yeah, I see. More detective work. Yeah, for sure. Well, good luck with that, Steve. And I'd like Steve to let us know what happens after he gets that checked out, if they're what the solution was. Thanks, Steve. Good luck. Texter says this. Good morning. They have a 2008 Ford Escape with a V6. Now, the texter says, when I turn on the air conditioning, I get a thick blue cloud of smoke out of the tailpipe. Now, if I turn off the air, it will go away. What's happening there? They want to know.
You know, that's a good one. I would say I'm stumped there also. Turning on the air conditioning puts more load on the engine, obviously, because you're trying to rotate another item, which is going to maybe kick the idle up a little bit. It shouldn't create any blue smoke, though. That's more of a combustion issue, nothing related to the air conditioning. So I'd have to see that, or, you know, maybe get, you know, go to your local shop and show them that also. But to have the AC come on and feel the engine, I wouldn't say surge, but kind of take it up a notch is normal, because you do need a little more power out of the motor to run that additional compressor along with everything else. So I would have the smoke assessed, though.
Yeah, for sure. Final question. It doesn't say what kind of a truck it is, but it's called a solid axle truck. What's the cause for excessive wear on both rear tires on the outer edges?
I would guess tire pressure, number one. And if somehow, if it's dog tracking a little bit, meaning that, you know, we've all been behind a car on the road where it looks like the back of the vehicle is trying to catch up with the front, if there's something with the alignment. So I would have, you know, tire pressure checked, alignment checked, because if it's dog tracking, that can create some abnormal wear, as can tire pressure. But if it's a solid axle, it's not likely bent without any significant impact of some sort. So I wouldn't be too worried about that, but I would have the pressures checked and have the alignment measured again.
Okay, and again, if you do need some help and you'd like to stop by Lloyd's Automotive, give them a call, whatever the case may be. Nick, give us the numbers, the information, how we can get in touch with you guys.
Absolutely here. So if you have a question, need advice, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. And as always, if you're on Grand Avenue, say hi. We got our front planters potted, and that's always a big hit in the summer, so come check out the flowers. And finally, check out our website. It's lloydsautomotive.net.
And it's your job to keep those potted plants watered now, right?
It's Tim's job, and he does a very good job of it, and the people okay. that walk by every day compliment him on it. So he's
it
doing
is,
his job.
It's a great-looking building, too. All right, Nick, have a good week, and thanks a lot for the help, and we'll do this again next Saturday.
Sounds like a plan, Denny.
All right, Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Stay tuned next for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat here on 830 WCCO. Here it is, the first Saturday of summer. Officially, this is the 22nd of June. Denny Long back at it, along with ASE Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
Is it wet enough for you? Gee whiz.
Never thought I'd complain about the rain, but I think we're ready for a bit of a break.
And just think how it was last year at this time, praying for rain. Unbelievable. In fact, I want to talk a little bit about driving through rain, driving through puddles, or in some cases, lakes. But in the meantime, I want to invite our listeners to join in. If you are having trouble with your car, your truck, your van, and you're going to bring it in for service to your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, but you kind of want to know ahead of time what could be ailing, Nick will be kind of giving you an analysis over the radio. You don't have to be a motorhead, as we like to say, or a gearhead. If you drive and you're having trouble, ask your question. We'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. Just one number will get you either. 651-461-9226. And as you know, Nick, I always like to say, do it earlier rather than later. Our time goes by so quickly. Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45 when Jack Farrell steps in. So call early, text early. Rather than later, 651-461-9226. You know, we've talked about this over the years here on the show, as you know, Nick, about some folks still, they see a puddle or whatever at an intersection, let's say, and they thought, well, I think I could make that. You don't know, first of all, how deep that is, but maybe you can kind of give us an idea of what minimally could happen to a vehicle. Or what's the worst-case scenario? What happens if you try to drive through a, quote, puddle without success? What can happen?
Well, especially this year with the amount of rain we've had, my thought or opinion is if you see standing water, you need to slow down. You don't want a hydroplane, which could, you know, take you off course and create an accident of sorts. You don't know how deep it is, like you mentioned, and, you know, sometimes if there's a pothole under that puddle, that edge of the asphalt could puncture the tire or damage the wheel, which would leave you stuck in the puddle, quite honestly. So, you know, it's we've had more rain than we can imagine, and it comes in these really heavy downpours. So if you see running water or standing water, you need to avoid that at all possible. You know, otherwise, if it's on the shoulder of the road and there's a curb there and there's, you know, that curb or that gutter is full of water, you just need to slow down. You get that water spraying, gets up under the hood, you can create a potential misfire, which could cause a vehicle to stall. So it might seem like it's fun when that water is spraying and such, but I think the best thing you can do is slow down or try to avoid it if all possible.
Now, you and I, we've all seen vehicles, maybe off-road kind of vehicles, like, I can get through this, no trouble. I guess water can go anywhere, but what kind of damage are we talking about? Worst case scenario, let's say.
Well, without realizing it, it's all happened to us, especially, you know, like I said, this spring with all the water. You hit one of those really large puddles and you see steam. Well, that's because the hot part of the engine is getting wet, which some cases, you know, the bottom is pretty well protected and designed for that. But we're also, the cars are designed for rain and such that where things are coming down, not so much up from underneath. So, you know, a lot of electronics can get shorted out. As I mentioned, you could create a misfire, which can make the vehicle run poorly or poorly enough where it might stall and now you're stuck in the rain. So it's like we both mentioned, it's best just to avoid it if all possible.
Now, can water get into the engine?
It can. You know, the intake, how the engine breathes, you know, where it takes the air has combustion and comes out the exhaust. If water gets into the intake portion of the engine, which is pretty well protected, so it's not very likely unless you're in a special circumstance, and if it actually consumes enough water, it can actually, that's a very rare, very significant situation, obviously. Not very likely to happen, but it does happen. I've done this long enough with a few of these situations where you know, someone's on the under an underpass where there's like a low area and the water up on the wheels or the you know, getting near the fenders of the vehicle where there's so much water that when it creates that little bit of surge or wave that it kind of overcomes the hood, that water can get into the engine, and then now that car's stuck in the middle of a lake, you could say, and it's likely ruined the motor.
Yeah. So don't do it. Just don't. I'm looking at a text. I know we have to break here in a moment, but I tell you what, I want to remind our listeners to call or text any kind of a car care question you might have. 651-461-9226. Here's one from a listener, 2001 Lincoln Town Car with the Panther platform. There is a hollow, dull thud noise coming from the front end when I go over potholes and bumps. Front tires don't move when I have the car jacked up and my hands are at the 9 and 5, 12 and 6 position and try to wiggle them. With that information, what can you diagnose that, Nick, at all?
You know, I'm on board. You know, what they're doing when they're raising the vehicle and trying to wiggle the wheel is check to see if there's any free play in any of the steering suspension components up in the air. Sometimes we'll do that and maybe get two people involved, so one person is allowed a pry bar while the other person kind of feels around. If you're feeling or hearing a thud that's different, it's because something has changed, obviously. And there's a component that's worn, maybe needs tightening or lubricating or even a replacement. So if that's something that just changed in recent times, I would probably make an appointment, get it at least assessed, and then you can, you know, determine how bad it is and what needs to be done.
Yeah, good idea. Hang on, Nick. We'll take a quick break. Again, invite our listeners to join in. Our time goes by so quickly. If you have a problem with your vehicle, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Your questions either by phone or by text. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. If you happen to have a problem with your personal vehicle and would like to find out what the heck is wrong with it before you bring it in for service, why don't you call Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. You can call him or text him, whatever works this morning, 651-461-9226. Nick, I think for those folks who maybe do need some help, want to pop in to Lloyd's Automotive, how do we find you guys? Where are you?
Yes, sir. So if you do have a question, need a little advice before you take it into your dealer or your local shop, don't hesitate to call. We're at 651-228-1316. If you happen to be on Grand Avenue at St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand, which is the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And finally, I'd really appreciate if you checked out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing, and of course we'll get you that information before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. So let's hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. A listener wants to know about, basically the question is, and we get this once in a while, about oil filters. How do you know the quality of oil filters? Is it best to buy big name brand names or use original equipment type of products or what? And again, I'm simplifying this long paragraph, but you know what the listener is asking. What about oil filters that you find at auto parts stores? And how do you know you're getting something good?
You know, that's a good question. And if there's any doubt, obviously going back to the original equipment, there's a standard that you're going to meet there regardless. Now, we always try to use a premium filter at the shop. You know, it's there's a, you know, you go to a parts store, you look at the shelf, there's going to be a whole variety of options there. Talk with somebody, you know, ask the person working there, look for, you know, you're looking for a quality filter. And typically the more common brand name ones are going to be better quality, you know, a good, better, best. I personally think it's, you know, we talk a lot about oil changes and quality of oil. I think filters go hand in hand with that in the sense that, you know, it might be a dollar or two more to get the better filter. Your engine will greatly appreciate it. It'll do a much better job of cleaning that oil, keeping that oil clean and lubricating the engine properly.
You know, I don't think we've ever talked about it. I'm not going to pick on the brand, but there is a brand out there, whether it be engine air filter element or cabin filter, or oil filter that they you can wash. They're reusable. I've never done that. I never used them myself. And I keep thinking, is that a good idea? I mean, is it as good as changing, you know, to a totally clean filter? Do you have a personal opinion about those? I'm not trying to knock the company, but what have you seen or heard about those, if anything?
Well, you know, in the air filter situation where what you're referencing, there's some maintenance with that. You know, when the air filter gets dirty traditionally, we replace it with a new filter. It's clean. All the folds have no debris, and all the, you know, the stuff that you don't see is not there. With those other types of filters, you actually have to clean them and re-oil them, which is a bit of a maintenance procedure and process. So if you're, you know, as we call them, a gearhead a bit, and you enjoy doing that, by all means, there's no problem with it. But if you're more of a set it and leave it type of person, or you might forget it, you're probably best to stick with the standard filter.
Yeah. I don't know why. I guess I'm kind of funny that way, but I've never tried it. Maybe it's good. But like you said, that's extra maintenance, and maybe it's just fine. 651-461-9226. Your car care question by phone or by text. Got a tire rotation question, Nick. How often should that be done? How is it done? And why is it done? Basically, they're asking.
So it should be done as needed. Obviously, you check the owner's manual, maintenance manual. It's likely to say, most likely every oil change or every oil changed, depending on where. And then the way we rotate them really depends how they look. You know, sometimes it's just straightforward and back. Sometimes if we see a little abnormal wear, we want to get a different part of the tire grabbing the road, we might crisscross them. So there's not necessarily a one way to do it. It really depends on the type of vehicle, all-wheel drive, front-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, the type of tire and how they're wearing. And I think when you take it into your regular shop and you have your service done and they recommend a rotation, they're going to make the best decision how they think those tires are going to wear best. The reason we do it is for longevity and good tire wear. You know, if you keep a tire in one spot, it's going to wear more so in one part of the tire than the other, which will cause them to wear too quickly. So we like to move them around every so often to keep them wearing evenly and lasting as long as they can.
How long do tires last, generally? I know that's a tough figure, to depending on your driving and the other elements of that particular car. But generally speaking, if you buy some good, you know, quality tires, how long should they last you? 20,000? 30,000?
Well, on the higher performance type tire where the compounds are very soft, kind of like a winter tire, if you're running that all the time, you might get 20,000 miles. The other end of it, on a little bit lighter weight vehicle, more of a minimalist type of vehicle, you get some of those tires on there, you might get 70,000 miles. So there's a huge range. I would like to say I would expect most vehicles 50,000 miles, I think, is a fair number to use. Some of the more profile, lower profile, higher performance, softer compounds are going to work quicker. Some of the more minimalist, lighter vehicles, maybe not as many of the features and handling aspects, tires will likely last longer. But kind of like we were mentioning with oil and filters, tires go hand in hand. Price, quality, longevity, quality of ride. So if you're looking for a set of tires, ask for some advice, do some research, you know, look around for a deal that might help save some money. But ultimately, the better the tire, the more likely they're likely to cost.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's grab a phone call before we look at the weather. Joe is calling in this morning from Isani, I believe. Joe, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Yes, I was in an auto parts place recently, and I picked up a jug of Rotella truck oil, and it said, the label on it said, guaranteed for 15 years or 500,000 miles. I'd like Nick to comment on that.
What do you think of that, Nick? Wow.
I think there's probably a little more to it. I think what they're saying is if you use that product as your maintenance fluid, they're saying that that oil is such a quality that they're going to promise you in some aspect, read the fine print, that the motor will last that long. And if you use a good quality oil on any vehicle, to get up over 200,000-300,000 miles on today's types of vehicles we have on the road should be expected, quite honestly. So what they're doing is they're hedging their bet that you're going to use that product for 15 years and they're going to get you that 500,000 miles. So read the fine print. Obviously, if something unfortunate happens and you have a record of using that product, you might have a claim with them. But I would caution just a little bit to make sure we know what they're, yeah. You know, the big letters are easy to read, but the fine print
yeah.
isn't.
how true in everything. All right, Nick, hang on. We'll take a quick break, have a look at that forecast. It's going to warm up for a couple days. We'll find out all the weather details coming along. We still have about 10-15 minutes of our show to go, so don't wait. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you at 651-461-9226. Call it in or text it in. Here at News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We're here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour, welcoming any kind of a car care question you may have for Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Tech at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we've got callers, we've got texters. Let's see how many folks we can help out here before you take your leave today. Let's grab a phone call from Steve calling in from Wilmer, Minnesota this morning. Steve, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Yes, I got a 2000. Ford 500. I said that wrong. 2007 Ford 500. And I was leaving town and 25 miles an hour, whatever. All of a sudden, the dash lights all kind of went out, other than like a seatbelt, yellow seatbelt light. Stayed out for about, I don't know, 20 seconds, 15 seconds. And come back on, be normal. Then I turned the cruise control on and another mile or two. And it did the same thing. Except the cruise light was on, the little yellow seatbelt light or whatever was on. Speedometer went to zero, tachometer went to zero, temperature gauge went to zero, gas gauge went to zero. 5 seconds, back up again. What do you got to say about that? What can I do?
Yeah, that's a tough one. We do see that. My suspicion is something in an actual cluster. A solder joint is broken, you know, after the years, vibration, bumps in the road and such, that maybe a connection's gone bad in there. You know, the first thing somebody should maybe do is check for any kind of fault codes that may have stored to kind of give them a clue, check the powers, the grounds. The last thing you want to do is start ripping a dash apart on a vehicle. Very tedious. The car's got a few years on it. Things become brittle. So that would be our last resort. But I think, you know, take it in. Explain to them, maybe even go for a drive with the shop and have them see what you're describing there, and then just have them go to work, you know, like I said, check powers, grounds, get the wiring diagram out, do everything you can to try to eliminate the easy stuff first, and then ultimately they might end up having to pull that cluster out of the dash and, you know, check to see if there's anything that's damaged behind there. So not easy. Sometimes it can be a bit of a needle in the haystack. But you need to know what the temperature is, what the speed is, how much fuel you have in the vehicle. So you're probably going to have to at least have somebody get a closer look to give you some better advice.
Yeah, I see more detective work. Yeah, for sure. Well, good luck with that, Steve. And I'd like Steve to let us know what happens after he gets that checked out, if they're what the solution was. Thanks, Steve. Good luck. Texter says this. Good morning. They have a 2008 Ford Escape with a V6. Now, the texter says, when I turn on the air conditioning, I get a thick blue cloud of smoke out of the tailpipe. Now, if I turn off the air, it will go away. What's happening there? They want to know.
You know, that's a good one. I would say I'm stumped there also. Turning on the air conditioning puts more load on the engine, obviously, because you're trying to rotate another item, which is going to maybe kick the idle up a little bit. It shouldn't create any blue smoke, though. That's more of a combustion issue, nothing related to the air conditioning. So I'd have to see that, or, you know, maybe get, you know, go to your local shop and show them that also. But to have the AC come on and feel the engine, I wouldn't say surge, but kind of taking it up a notch is normal, because you do need a little more power out of the motor to run that additional compressor along with everything else. So I would have the smoke assessed, though.
Yeah, for sure. Final question, and it doesn't say what kind of a truck it is, but it's called a solid axle truck. What's the cause for excessive wear on both rear tires on the outer edges?
I would guess tire pressure, number one. And if somehow, if it's dog tracking a little bit, meaning that, you know, we've all been behind a car on the road where it looks like the back of the vehicle is trying to catch up with the front, if there's something with the alignment. So I would have, you know, tire pressure checked, alignment checked, because if it's dog tracking, that can create some abnormal wear, as can tire pressure. But if it's a solid axle, it's not likely bent without any significant impact of some sort. So I wouldn't be too worried about that, but I would have the pressures checked and have the alignment measured again.
Okay, and again, if you do need some help and you'd like to stop by Lloyd's Automotive, give them a call, whatever the case may be. Nick, give us the numbers, the information, how we can get in touch with you guys.
Absolutely here. So if you have a question, need advice, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. And as always, if you're on Grand Avenue, say hi. We got our front planters potted, and that's always a big hit in the summer, so come check out the flowers. And finally, check out our website. It's lloydsautomotive.net.
And it's your job to keep those potted plants watered now, right?
It's Tim's job, and he does a very good job of it, and the people okay. that walk by every day compliment him on it. So he's
it
doing
is,
his job.
It's a great-looking building, too. All right, Nick, have a good week, and thanks a lot for the help, and we'll do this again next Saturday.
Sounds like a plan, Denny.
All right, Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Stay tuned next for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat here on 830 WCCO.